It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. With the local economy relying more and more on the gas and coal industry, the news that CONSOL Energy posted a loss for the past quarter and outlined spending cuts for the next year and a half can't be good. As the price for natural gas continues to slide, what does it mean for us? I'm joined now in studio by Tribune Review staff writer David Conte. David Conte, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. David, with the local economy relying on the energy industry more and more, gas and coal, how does this lower gas price impact our economy?
Well, it's starting to show up, the impacts. The natural gas prices actually started to fall in the fall. So there's been several months of this. The price drop has deepened, however, and now we're starting to see the impact. The highline impact that we can see, you mentioned CONSOL, and certainly they're not alone in this, but you mentioned CONSOL. They announced the other day that they will be stopping their drilling program through next year. They had two drilling rigs working in the Appalachian Basin, and they're going to stop that. That doesn't mean complete production ends. They're still going to work on finishing the wells that they have already drilled. But that's a clear impact right there. Those are crews out on those rigs that live here, that work here, that have been working in the Marcellus for several years now, that aren't going to be working here. And again, they're not alone. Range Resources, which is the fourth highest producer in Pennsylvania shale, is reducing its rig count, it said the other day. It started the year with 15 rigs. By the end of the year, it's only going to have 6 rigs. Both have cut their capital spending. And that's something that gets lost, I think, with a lot of people, because you hear, oh, CapEx. Well, you know what that means? That's money that's being spent here. Hundreds of millions of dollars less being spent here because they're not getting as much money as they did for that natural gas.
And these people, when you talk about the crews that are working on these rigs, what is happening to them in the interim? Are they on hiatus? Are they being given some sort of a financial support in the interim, or are they completely laid off?
It's hard to tell. It's company by company. Most of those rigs, those are contractors. So again, that's why, you know, we are talking about Pennsylvania jobs generally when we talk about these rigs being laid down, because, you know, these are companies that have been set up over the past couple of years here to drill wells. That's what they do. So it depends, you know, it's company by company. Obviously, a lot of contractors in the supply chain have had to lay people off, or at the very least, they've had to take some deep cuts in the money that they get to keep on operating. But, you know, if the rig's not running, then there's no work for them. They're going to have to find work elsewhere. Right now, because oil prices have crashed at the same time, there might not be that opportunity to go find work, say, in North Dakota, in the Bakken, or in Texas, like there might have been before, because those rigs are also slowing down because of the low oil prices at the same time.
And it may be too early to have any kind of tracking results on what people do in a situation like this. But if there's no other work for them in other parts of the country in this field, do they stay here and look for work, and are they looking outside of the gas industry?
Good question. You know, the one bright spot in the industry right now is at least pipeline building. So one would hope that those are some transferable work skills that those workers would have, because at the heart of this low price issue is the lack of pipelines. It's a kind of clear supply and demand issue. We have, the gas companies have created this oversupply of gas by tapping all of these Marcellus and Utica wells that are producing huge amounts of gas. There's nowhere for it to go right now. There's not enough.
How did that happen? How did it happen that all of a sudden, you know, that okay, we've over-drilled. We've over-fracked.
Right, right. It's, well, you know, the pipelines take a long time to build. For that, so that's one part of that. They need to be permitted, and it's a long process to either build a pipeline or even to reverse flow on pipelines, which is what they did first. We already had pipelines in place to deliver gas from the Gulf to here. In some cases, they've reversed flow on some of those pipelines.
Meaning?
So that we can send the gas that we're producing here, we can send to the Gulf,
okay,
where it could potentially be exported or processed for other uses, or there's other end users there.
Just so you have some place to move it.
Exactly.
So you can kind of keep everything rolling.
Exactly. But at the so half of it is it's taken a long time to build those pipelines, and they're in the pipeline, there's a lot of talk, both within the industry and analysts, who say 2-3 years from now we'll be in a very, very different situation with pipelines. A lot of pipelines will be coming online by that point that can deliver this gas to more lucrative markets. So that's half of it. The other half of it is there's still this idea that they are still learning what they can produce from the Marcellus and again from the Utica, and they are getting more and more gas out of every well that they drill. It's quite possible that maybe they didn't realize how much gas that we would be getting at this point. The production grows in leaps and bounds, so there is also a feeling that consumption and demand would be there, that there would be enough natural gas-fired power plants that have been built to use this all. There's still this idea that demand will increase, that consumption will increase. Maybe it's been too slow. It's hard to tell, but that's the situation we're in.
So it sounds like you're saying the demand is maybe less than what they anticipated. Has it decreased, or is it simply just not been there in the way that industry insiders and analysts thought it would?
Yeah, demand for natural gas is always a volatile thing. It's seasonal. I think it is hard to predict. It's possible that demand has been slower to grow, but it was clear the Energy Information Administration, Department of Energy group, recently put out a report that showed that, and it got a lot of headlines, including in the Trib, that natural gas had overtaken coal for the first time ever as the dominant fuel source for power generation in this country. It was short-lived. It was only for a month or two. But in April, that happened. And obviously, that part of that was more power plants were using natural gas. But it was also because of just an overall low demand time for any electricity at all. Mild weather, different factors come up, more energy efficiency, and demand growth has not been there yet. There's still this idea that it will be there soon. Again, you keep hearing from folks 2-3 years and things will be very, very different. The question is getting through that 2-3 years when more pipelines are online, when demand is up. The companies need to get through that in order to survive.
So the analysts in the industry are trying to prevent a glut. They're trying to take a measured approach to extracting the gas so that there isn't too much, so that the market isn't flooded and the price stays high. But what it sounds like you're saying is that even with all of that, that there can be things that are beyond everybody's control that factor into this, and then you have to dial it back.
Sure, sure. That could be what we're seeing right now. There is some dialing back. While overall production is continuing to grow, and several companies continue to say they're looking to increase production, you have some companies that are putting a choke on it a little bit. Cabot Oil and Gas, which is Pennsylvania's largest natural gas producer, while their overall production did grow a little bit, I think it was 8% during the last quarter, they are curtailing Marcellus production right now from some of their wells. They're holding back on it, because there's just nowhere for it to go, and it's not very profitable for them to keep producing the huge amounts when they're not getting much money for that.
And is there a low price point for natural gas? A figure that's probably been established at some point where a company like Consol or Range Resources will say, okay, when the price hits this point, when it drops to this level, we're going to stop drilling?
Every 3 months, that question is asked, and it's what's being asked right now. We're in the middle of the quarterly earnings season for these companies, which is why we just got this news from Consol and Range and Cabot the other day. And every 3 months, the executives get on the phone with the analysts, and that question is asked. And generally, they do not give an answer because, for one thing, there's not an across-the-board answer to that question. It all depends on how cheaply a company can drill, frack, complete, and produce a well. It's a moving target, that number, and it's changing daily. And it's by company, it's by location, it's by region. So no, there is not an agreed upon number for the industry, and most of the companies are not going to give that number at this point, or at least haven't.
We're talking about the drop in the price for natural gas. The local economy relies on the gas and coal industry. It's doing so more and more. And recently, Consol Energy posted a loss for the past quarter and outlined spending cuts for the next year and a half as a result of the slide in the price for natural gas. We're talking about what it means for us here on Essential Pittsburgh with Tribune Review staff writer David Conti. You can join the conversation with a question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh at wesa.fm. And on Twitter at esspgh. And David, as you watch the industry, what warning signs do you look for? What are the things that, as you analyze what's happening out there and compare the numbers, that raise red flags for you?
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, you see these kind of results, and that's disheartening. You know, I try to rely on analysts to do that as well. You don't want to see layoffs. Just like for any company, you don't want to see companies start to reduce their workforce, and we are seeing that. We've been seeing that for several months across the industry. It started with those supply chain companies, the contractors who go out and are hired by the Ranges and Consols and Cabots of the world to drill and frack and complete a well. We saw it first with them, Halliburton and Baker Hughes and Schlumberger, and that continues. Halliburton said that it was closing one of its longtime offices here in Indiana County, and now we're seeing it with the actual producers. Chevron announced layoffs a couple months ago. Consol did the same, really more than 10% of its workforce. And again, those are local workers. Range Resources as well disclosed that in addition to some folks that it laid off in Oklahoma City, it did lay off another 40 employees here in Pennsylvania, employees that oversaw some of their older wells, their conventional shallow wells.
For folks that are anti-fracking, what does this mean? I'm sure a lot of them are saying, okay, here's our chance to roll out the green energy, the renewable energy. We can fill that void in a way that we support, but can and does it work that way? Is that feasible?
It can't happen today. The issue with renewables continues to be integration into our grid. And our grid is still not, our electrical grid is still not set up to embrace and accept those renewables right away. We still need something that will power a power station that will keep those lights burning day and night, whether the wind is blowing or not. And so that remains, that base load that they talk about remains with the fossil fuels, the coal and natural gas. So can it happen today just because of what's going on? No, it can't. And if anything, the power plants are looking more and more to natural gas because of that low price that they can buy the natural gas for. So we are seeing for several different factors, for several different reasons, we're seeing more and more utilities switch to natural gas as the fuel source for their power plants.
Does anybody benefit from these lower natural gas? Obviously, the consumers.
Yeah,
do,
you and
right?
I do, absolutely. If we look at our natural gas bills, we're either going to see it immediately or we're going to see it in a few months when the utility adjusts its rate up or down. There's a delivery rate there's a specific rate that's part of it that the utilities have to adjust as a commodity based on how much they're paying for it. So, we are seeing it. Just this morning, I was at an event with the Pittsburgh area, airport area Chamber of Commerce, and they were talking about natural gas and how it's feeding the overall national and international economy. And the point was brought up about New England because there were some folks there who had some experience with what's going on there. And there's a case where we see it where their heating bills in the winter are 50% more than ours. Because they cannot get much of that natural gas that we're producing here because the pipelines are not there for various different reasons, and they have to use heating oil there. And so we see that benefit here for sure. There's a potential for us to see it even more as natural gas is used for other products. If it's used to produce plastics, there's the opportunity to produce those plastics more cheaply, and potentially we could see those that rollback as consumers. So we are benefiting from that. I guess that's the other side of that sword, that when we hear from these companies that are having trouble, and that means that workers are either losing jobs or having their pay cut, we're getting a benefit of lower prices.
Yeah, who's feeling sorry for the oil industry when you drive by the gas station and the price per gallon is under $3?
Sure.
You're happy if it's just you driving your car by. Before we wrap this up, looking at the big energy picture, one of the things that you hear some people in the industry, particularly those associated with the fossil fuels, say about renewables is that you're going to be paying so much more for that, green energy. Is that true? And if it is that a long-term thing, or would it eventually become as cheap as natural gas is today?
A lot of people believe that eventually will become it will become cheap. Will it become as cheap as natural gas is today? That's hard to say.
What do you think, Dave?
I have no, I've given up predicting what's going to happen with prices. I don't think anybody saw the collapse in oil prices that we saw last year. Nobody saw that. Nobody saw that coming at all. It's very hard to predict that. But certainly the cost of renewables is coming down. The question is just, how far down it will become and whether or not that will coincide with the logistics of making those renewables something that can be used on the grid.
David Conte is a staff writer for the Tribune Review, talking about energy issues, and certainly provided a lot of insight for us today. As always, David, a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming down here and being with us on Essential
Thank
Pittsburgh.
You. It was my pleasure. I enjoyed it.
Coming up, the case against the owners of the copyright for the Happy Birthday to You song. An old songbook in Pitt's Hillman Library may be used as evidence. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.